Thank you, Lord, for this this message. I ask, Lord, that you help me in its delivery and help all of us to appreciate the scriptures that are quoted in it and how they apply in our personal lives. B'Shem Yeshua. Today I want to speak to you about human emotions, a component of God's creation that sometimes causes us great difficulty. Our emotions can be used as God intends, but they can also be misused and lead us into sin. In that regard, our emotions are like parts of our bodies. Who cannot say that our limbs and our eyes are blessings? But Matthew 18, verses 8 to 9 also says of them, "If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire." Our emotions are similar in that they can bless us if we use them correctly, but they can destroy us if we do not. Many of us have experienced times when our emotions have gotten out of control and led us into trouble. But we must not disdain them on account of it, because if we do, the harm to our relationships that depend on them can be severe. Let me illustrate my emotion that is tied to love. Many of us have come into Messianic Judaism already schooled in the three New Testament Greek words for love: eros, philia, and agape. We were taught that eros is love that is connected to intimacy and sexual passion. Philia is the affectionate love of friendship. And agape is the purest kind of love that is generated by godly covenant obligation and is substantially lacking in emotion or strong feelings. As a result, some of us have concluded that the highest way to love someone, including God and our spouses, is to do so without there being an emotional component to it. And if emotions and feelings should intrude, then we suspect that our love is not of the purest kind. Those of us who have come to believe this would do well to repent, because there is no human activity that is not accompanied by feelings of some kind. Case in point, a Pharisee confronted Yeshua in Matthew 22, verses 36 to 39, and asked him, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Yeshua said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Let's look at the second part of what Yeshua said: loving our neighbor as ourself. The scripture uses a derivative of the word agape as the kind of love we are to have. Yet, is there anyone here whose concern for his or herself is without emotional feeling? Of course not. Therefore, it must be so for the agape love we have for our neighbor as well. And if it is so with our neighbor, then it must also be so with the agape love that we are commanded to have for God. Notice that the scripture does not say that we are to love God with our mind only. It says that we are to love him with all of our heart and soul as well as our mind. This infers emotion. and defines the love relationship we are to have with our Heavenly Father as similar to the one each of us are meant to have with our earthly father, a relationship that includes having positive feelings toward one another. I have to confess that it took me some years to come to the place where my relationship with God took on an emotional component. But ever since it has, I have felt so much closer. Now, why have I said these things? It has been to make the point that one of the ways we sometimes misuse our emotional feelings is to try to eliminate them. And that is wrong. Yeshua characterized himself as a man with emotions, as we read how he responded to Lazarus' death in John 11, verses 33 to 36. We read, "Therefore, when Yeshua saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, 'Where have you laid him?' They said to him, 'Lord, come and see.' Yeshua wept. Then the Jews said, 'See how he loved him.'" And there are other scriptures as well that recognize emotions as part of the normal human condition. And here are a few. Psalms 139:23. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties." Proverbs 15:13. "A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken." Proverbs 17:22. "A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." Ecclesiastes 3:4. "A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance." Matthew 5:4. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." I hope that I have shown you that refusing to recognize and utilize our God-given emotions is wrong. But equally wrong is allowing our emotions to drive our actions unchecked by biblical considerations and direction by the Holy Spirit. As a general rule, emotions and feelings in and of themselves are not sins because we cannot control how we feel about things, and we are therefore not held responsible for them so long as they do not propel us to act sinfully. The trouble is that too often they do, because we tend to cater more to our feelings than to obeying the commandments of God. I will demonstrate with two of the most common emotions, the first being fear. Fear and its close cousin, anxiety, are often, although not always, the result of our not having a sufficient faith reliance in God. And Romans 14, verse 23b, tells us that whatever is not from faith is sin. Whereas most feelings are beyond our ability to control, it is not the case with fear and anxiety, which Scripture tells us we can control. Joshua 1:9. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Psalms 23:4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Luke 12:4, "And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that they have no more that they can do." Notice it says, "Do not be afraid." Philippians 4:6-7, "Be anxious for nothing, for in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Messiah Yeshua." And 2 Timothy 1:7, For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When Scripture commands that we rid ourselves of something or that we have the ability to say no to something, we must believe that it is true. In the case of fear, Scripture exhorts us to not be afraid or anxious and instead to pray. In short, it assures us that God is in control and that He is well able to protect us. Another emotion that can get out of control if we are not careful is anger. Psalms 4, verse 4a says of it, "Be angry and do not sin." And similarly, Ephesians 4, verses 26 to 27 tells us, "Be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." Once again, we see that it is not the feeling or the emotion that is sin, but rather improper actions that we allow as a result. To make the point, Scripture reveals an occasion on which Yeshua became angry, but did not sin. Mark 3, verses 4 to 5. "Then he said to them," that is to the Pharisees, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, he was ministering to a man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Because anger can easily get out of control and lead us to sin, Scripture warns us about it multiple times. Here is some of what Scripture has to say about anger and what we should and can do about it. Proverbs 12:16. "A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame." Proverbs 15:1. "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Proverbs 15:18. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention." Proverbs 16:32. "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty," that is the mighty man, "and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." This Proverbs 16:32 is especially important in its emphasis that anger is such a strong and potentially explosive emotion that a man who is able to control it is better even than a conquering warrior. Here are some other scriptures about anger. Proverbs 19:11, "The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression." Ecclesiastes 7:9, "Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools." And James chapter 1, verses 19 to 20, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." I could list other emotions and feelings that can get us into trouble, but I think that the two I have given, fear and anger, are sufficient to make my point. But let me not leave you without giving you Scripture's way to deal with such emotions and avoid sinning on account of them. There are two ways, and they go together. The first is to put ourselves in God's hands and pray to Him for protection and wisdom instead of precipitously resorting to self-help. Psalms 4:1 says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer." And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. That is the first way that we are to deal with our emotions, putting ourselves in God's hands and praying for his merciful protection and solutions. The second way that goes along with it is to remember that God has already given us power and authority in Yeshua's name to be proactive. We read in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So the second way that we keep from sinning, even in the face of strong emotions, is to look for the way of escape that God has assured us is always there, and to believe that with the power and authority given us by the Holy Spirit, we have the ability and also the responsibility to direct our actions in a godly manner despite our emotions urging us otherwise. Do we really have such spiritual power, and isn't using it usurping God's role? Yes, we have the power because God has given it to us. And no, it is not usurping God if we use it because it is what God intends. Consider these scriptures. Proverbs 25:28. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. According to the scripture, we have the power to rule over our own spirit, and God expects us to exercise that rule. Proverbs 29:11. A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. Apparently, we are able to control that which we say and that which we do not say. And God expects us to seek him through the Holy Spirit to know which is which. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. According to the scripture, we are expected to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, which means that we are expected to endure whatever God calls us to endure, even discomfort and pain. And this in order to serve his purposes. Some of us have been taught that if we have sufficient faith, all of our worldly troubles will go away. Regrettably, that is not what Scripture says. Romans 12:2 says, and do not become conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. From this scripture, we know that it is within our power to refuse to be conformed to the standards of this world, and that it is within our power by submitting to God to have our minds renewed so as to be in sync with the mind of the Lord. A fantastic achievement, but entirely doable, according to Philippians 4:13, that says, I can do all things through Messiah who strengthens me. And 1 Corinthians 2:16, that says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Messiah. I am almost finished, but not quite yet. Galatians 5:16b exhorts us to walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And Galatians 5:22-23 tells us, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, underscore the last one, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Pay careful attention to the reference to self-control. Believers have the ability to tap into God's power and exercise self-control on a level that would be impossible without it. Colossians 3, verse 18b tells us that in God's power we are able to, and I quote, put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language. All of what I have shared in this message can be boiled down to a single scripture, which is 2 Corinthians 5, 7, that says, we walk by faith, not by sight. The sight that is referred to in the scripture is not only eyesight. It is any sensory input that gives us information upon which we are moved to act. Such sight may be through what we see, through what we hear, or through what we feel inside us when we either see or hear. Walking by faith and not by sight does not mean disregarding the things and feelings that impact us. It means that we refer them to God and receive back His instruction before we act on them. If we do not learn to do that, we will continuously stumble over our unchecked emotions and feelings and act in ways that damage our lives and the lives of others. And God does not want us to do that. Thank you, Lord, for this message. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen.